Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
You know, it's ironic that we were going to do a bi-weekly podcast and then we're like, no, we're having so much fun. Let's do every week. But then a couple, like maybe two times now, we didn't record for a week.
Like, we've been really busy though.
Yeah. And it's almost your birthday.
Friday.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
We're going to go to water.
Oh, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, Waterton is like this tiny little town in Alberta that's like a tourist town, but it's beautiful.
It is quite literally my most happy place on earth. And I'm so excited because you've only been there for like a work thing one time, but like I've spent so much time there.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Am I too far away from the microphone?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll do that. We're equal. We're equidistance.
I just moved it away. Okay. Today.
We listened to, or we watched episode 4, season 3.
I know. It's wild. Like, we still have so many more episodes to go, but we're getting through them.
Yeah.
Also, I've never, like, really realized how much you, like, have to pay attention to a show. When you're taking, like, we take notes.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, now I'm, because
my God.
What? Because I'm taking notes, it's, like, in my brain even more about what's going on in each episode. So, like, I can recall things better. Like, it's, like, I don't know, it's, like, class and taking notes.
You want to start taking notes in all the shows we watch?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. This episode is called The Legacy. Which I didn't really get.
I get it. I literally just got it.
Why?
Because of the legacy of trauma. Generational trauma.
But that generational trauma was only one thread.
Listen, if you go back and listen to every synopsis of every... The titles never do it.
That's fair. They never
cover
all bases.
But that, I just realized why.
And that's why this is the still. So the still for this episode on Apple TV is the Ted and a...
Okay, well, don't give it away just yet. Read us the synopsis.
Okay, October 12th, 1998. Matt is reading between the lines a little too much when he thinks his attractive English professor is coming on to him.
Yeah.
That and so much more. Again.
That and so much more. This episode had a real musical instrument theme.
It did. I also enjoyed that this episode was a callback to season one, where they had like very individual storylines for each character.
Oh, you're right. They did.
Like, my notes were so easy to take. It was like Mary, notes. Lucy, notes. Matt. Mm-hmm. There was no
mucking around.
Yeah, mixing around.
I say we just cover Ruthie and Annie first.
Okay.
Because they're kind of similar in their musical. Uh-huh. I guess that's the only thing. So Ruthie, she must be in grade two?
One or two, yeah.
I think she's in grade two. And she is in band. And so they're doing the thing where they get to pick an instrument and learn to play it. And so the show opens up and she's playing a trumpet very badly in the car. And her whole shtick through the whole episode is she's using like musician's lingo. And through the whole episode, she's trying different instruments. So she decides the trumpet's not for her because she realizes it has a spit reed?
Yeah, like collects your spit.
Ew. Is that what that is?
I think.
Okay, well,
I don't know.
I've never played a wind instrument.
Something.
Yeah. And so then she goes on to grab the flute, but she doesn't like that. But she liked how little the case was. And then she goes on to play the saxophone. And it's very large.
Yeah.
So she plays that, and then she's not sure if she likes that. And then by the end of the episode, and so every scene, she's playing music loudly in the house, and everybody's trying to get away from it.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, she realizes she passes by a choir room and realizes her voice can be her instrument. And she joins the Glen Oak School Choir. And so the episode ends with her singing very loudly, bingo.
Like,
B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O. Yeah. So
how do we feel about kids who can't sing? It's in the news right now.
Okay, so for those that don't know, I only know because of TikTok.
Or for those who are listening in 2045.
Yeah, if you're listening in the year 2045, let me tell you about Northwest. So Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have a 10-year-old or 11-year-old daughter named Northwest. And she is what they call a nepo baby. So she's just kind of getting anything she wants because of who her parents are. And she got to play Simba in not like a production of The Lion King, but like the 30th anniversary of Disney's Lion King some big bowl in the States.
Was it a football thing?
No, but it was there. And so they had Northwest. I was going to say Blue Ivy, but that's Beyonce's kid who actually has talent.
We're going to get canceled.
I know. This 11-year-old Northwest wrecked it. It was awful.
And they're saying she got the role of Simba because of who her parents
are. Yeah, they like paid a bunch of money to give her this role. And there was all these kids auditioning who were like Broadway performers and classically trained theater artists and all of this. And she was just like, Kim Kardashian was like, I'm Kim Kardashian.
Put my kid in this.
And they did. And it was not good. But I feel bad because an 11-year-old, obviously, she didn't make that decision, whether she showed interest or not. She was not set up to succeed because she didn't have any vocal training, stage experience, like yada, yada, yada.
I know. And now, like, we shouldn't make fun of kids, but like, now she's out there and this is out there for all to see for the rest of time.
Yeah.
And like, she just wasn't set up for success.
Yeah.
Anywho, neither is Ruthie. Okay. Annie is... Okay, so if you remember in previous episodes, Annie picks, what does she call it?
A pregnancy project. But I think this is a shout out to or a call back to season one. They make a few references where she's...
The very first episode where she's under the sink.
Right, yeah.
Plumbing.
And they, it's always sort of... Annie's the one that does all the blue jobs. She is the electrician and the plumber and the handyman. and all of this stuff. And so when her scene starts, she's literally trying to like
make a topiary chicken.
Was it a chicken?
I thought it was a chicken.
I thought it was a sheep.
A topiary farm animal.
A topiary, yeah, an animal. And so she's trying to use hedge trimmers to, like, cut the shape of an animal out of this hedge. And she's not doing a very good job. And so Eric...
Obviously, we don't even know what animal it is.
Yeah. And so Eric comes in and he's like, oh, but you're beautiful. And, you know, you're going to get it because all of your pregnancy projects you end up getting. And this is so great. And then out of nowhere, he's like, you always wanted to play the piano. Why don't I set you up with piano lessons?
Yeah, here's Josh Hinkle, Mrs. Hinkle's nephew. And he's, like, tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah.
And so...
Terrible actor, but...
Yeah. So he's going to teach Annie piano. So when Eric says, like, oh, you're beautiful, don't worry, you're going to get it, da-da-da, she, like, rolls her eyes at him, and she's like, yeah, whatever. Like, you're my husband, you have to say that. And so then he hooks her up with this piano teacher, Josh Hinkle. Mrs. Hinkle's nephew. And she's like flirting with him a bit.
Yeah, she goes and like puts on lipstick and does her hair and is getting all gussied up.
Woo-wooed for him.
Yes. And she's also terrible at the piano.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what is happening in these lessons, but she's the worst. I was going to make a Northwest joke and then I stopped.
Oh.
She's a kid.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to this in the year 2045, then she's an adult, so.
Yeah, who knows what she's up to.
But, so then, there's like a weird scene where, like, Annie talks Eric into saying that she thinks that she's into Josh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the dynamic between Annie and Eric is weird in this one. And I think they're trying to come across that, like, Annie's hormonal and pregnant and doesn't know what she's talking about, which I find offensive. Even as someone who's not pregnant and hasn't been pregnant, like, I find this offensive.
Yeah, it is offensive.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So then Josh, the final scene, Josh is like, yeah, you're actually so great and so beautiful and so incredible. And I, like, hope that one day I can meet somebody who's as great as you. And then he, like, kisses her on the cheek. And she, like, realizes Annie is like, oh, my gosh, I was flirting with him. So then she goes and apologizes to Eric for flirting with Josh. And then she leaves the room. And then Eric turns to Matt. And he says that he got Josh on purpose. Then if Josh would say that Annie is beautiful and incredible and so great, then she would believe it. Because right now she's just rolling her eyes at him.
Right.
Like, that's stupid.
Yeah, and Eric's, like, trying to have this moment with his son that's like, oh, you know, tricks of the trade. This is what I've learned.
Well, because something goes on with Matt, and, like, there's a whole scene where Eric tells Matt that he's usually pretty clear at reading women's signals. He's surprised.
Oh, barf.
Like, gross. This is,
get out of here.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Matt?
Yeah, let's talk about Matt. I'm all fired up
about it.
Just gross. Like, get out of here. You're
not every woman is coming on to you.
Yeah.
So Matt's at the billiards. And I thought that his teacher, because he's in doctor school, which they haven't actually explained.
Yeah, I don't think they've really said, because it was she's an English professor.
But she's referred to as Dr. Leroux.
But I think that she probably has just a doctorate in English.
I don't know. Fair enough.
But Dr. Leroux shows up.
I actually thought they said Dr. Monroe, so then I looked her up on IMDb because I was like, who is this woman? Is she famous? She's not. She's in like one episode of literally everything ever made.
Oh.
But it's Leroux.
Okay.
And Matt's there with his friend. I didn't catch the friend's name.
Yeah.
Scott, maybe?
Maybe.
His name.
I didn't pay attention to his name.
And he's like, whoa, she's hitting on you. And like, I don't know. I don't think that she was. She just spoke to him.
Yeah, she's like, oh, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, what are you doing here? And she's like, well, I just needed to blow off some steam.
Yeah, and the friend is like telling Matt that she was looking at him from across the room, probably because he was like, hey, is that a kid from my class? I'll go over and talk to him.
Yeah. And so they end up playing pool together, all three of them. And then afterwards, because Matt is just such a big, great guy at 18 years old, he walks her to her car. And she's like, thank you so much. I had so much fun. And he's like, yeah, thank you. And then he leans in.
He leans in to kiss her, but she doesn't move at all. And so it's like, I want everybody right now to go find somebody to kiss, but you don't do anything with your lips. Let them come and try to kiss you.
And just like dead face stare at them.
With your mouth
eyes open. And then that person's going to tilt their head and lean in all romantic like. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should take a video and put it on. We could just film the scene. That'd be awesome.
And she's just like, what are you doing?
Like, yeah. And he's like, I guess I misread that.
Sorry.
So then he skips class the next day.
Because he's embarrassed, as he should be.
Oh, I was like, are you on Team Matthew? Like, you're embarrassed, but like, also the world doesn't revolve around you.
Right.
And not every girl or woman that you meet is going to want to be with you.
This is news to me.
Yeah.
So he doesn't go to the class. And then the friend shows up and is like, well, here's your paperback. And it's a C minus.
The nerve.
And so the friend is like, well, she gave you this C minus because you made a pass at her and it wasn't reciprocated.
And he's like, we're adults now. You need to go confront her.
What?
Terrible life advice. Terrible.
Get out of here, friend.
Yeah.
So then Matt goes and is like, hey, Miss Dr. LaRoe. I make a pass at you and then you give me a C minus and she puts him in his place.
Yeah. Thankfully, like she's like, yeah, she basically says like, this has nothing to do with that.
Your paper was shit.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't hit on me. And I'm an adult and I thought you were an adult up until this point too.
Yeah. And he
like runs with his tail between his legs.
I was just going to say that. Tail between his leg, all like licking his wounds.
But then he goes home and that's when Eric is like,
okay? Sorry, I just dropped my phone.
He goes home and that's when Eric is like, oh, like you're usually pretty good at picking up on women's signals. Like what happened? Like, shut up. Be mad at your son for trying to kiss his teacher. I don't care that they're in university. It's a power dynamic.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop it right now.
And that's it.
That's Matt.
That's Matt.
So then, I don't know.
What about Lucy?
Yeah.
Lunch?
Lunch and the montage.
Yeah, so there was two montages.
It's a lot of montages for one 44-minute episode.
I know. Okay, let's talk about Lucy and her montage and then Mary and her montage.
Yeah. So Lucy, who is already petite and looks a little underfed... Like, I'm not body shaming. She's just a very small human. She forgets her lunch in geometry and she runs back to class by the time she realizes it. And the teacher is eating her lunch.
Mrs. Reese.
Now, I remember this episode. I remember this storyline watching it in 1999.
Why?
I don't know. It just is like, it must have. Now I
eat your lunch.
And now I never leave.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
My sandwiches ended.
So she kind of like the teacher kind of says to Lucy, like, well, I don't know, like heckles her about not knowing geometry and how she would have got back to the class faster if she had paid attention.
Yeah. She's like, well, what's the quickest route from point A to B? And Lucy's like, I don't know. I don't need geometry. I'm never going to use this.
So she goes home. She's upset. She's like venting to Annie. Annie's like, well, maybe you should pay attention in geometry class. The next day, what does she do? Leaves her lunch in geometry class. Like, get a hold of your lunch.
Leave it in your locker. Leave it in your locker. Leave it in your backpack. Like, where is it? Where do you walk into geometry? Put it somewhere that isn't within your
bag,
your area.
You know what, though? And I don't know if this is, like, an American thing. They don't really have, like, backpacks. Knapsacks.
Knapsacks.
As much. Or maybe that's just how it's portrayed on TV.
They tend to have, like, an over-the-shoulder bag or...
Or, like, and they carry all their, like, textbooks, like, hugged up against their chest.
Yeah.
But even, like, still, leave your lunch in your locker, Lucy.
That's just it. Why is your lunch... Anyway, so...
So then the teacher gets up and, like, gives her, like, a rundown... Of
a quick geometry lesson and what the lesson she's trying to
get through to her.
And she eats her whole lunch again.
And then the next day, Lucy leaves her lunch for a third time. Thrice, if you will. And she, who is that friend? It's the friend that...
It's not Suzanne because she's on the moved away.
It's the one with the braces that they thought had an eating disorder.
Yeah, because she snuck off to the bathroom after eating all the time and has to clean her braces. And actually, she's poor.
Yeah, and she's eating so much because she's poor. They could have left the poor bit out.
Yeah. Like, but how would Eric have saved the day?
That's true.
He can't save a day from a kid that just has braces. That's not a critical storyline.
That's fair.
So they just have this moment of clarity where they realize the school's a square, and if you cut the intersection of this angle and it's a straight line, so she's got to go the other way.
So she runs through the courtyard, to a music montage.
Yes.
Where she's like hopping over students.
Yeah, running under a flag, and it's very dramatic. And she makes it. And she's like, okay, I did it. Can I have my lunch? And she's like, you didn't have a lunch. And then Lucy's like, I forgot my lunch today.
Like, wow. Like,
but then it's like the teacher knew.
So she ordered pizza.
So she had a pizza show up.
The pizza man doesn't come to the classroom.
He did today.
It does maybe in 99.
Yeah, well, these days you can't get through the doors of a school.
No.
If your life depends on it.
It's true. Okay. Mary. Did you catch that they were reading the Scarlet Letter and that's why she had to wear the A on her chest?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I didn't recognize what book they were reading. So I just assumed it was a boring book.
I didn't recognize it until they said the name of the author. And then I was like, oh. So Mary's in English class with the most boring teacher in the whole world, Miss McKee. Like, why do they portray English teachers to be that boring and weird?
I don't know. I don't really think I had a bad English teacher.
No. I had a weird one, but she wasn't boring. Mary's like falling asleep in class. So they're reading the Scarlet Letter. And Mary's friends, her two friends that are in the English class with her, and also her basketball mates, her teammates, convince Mary, they talk Mary into skipping the class the next day.
Yeah, they said, this is boring. Let's skip class tomorrow. She's not even going to notice. She's so old, this teacher. She's probably like 45.
So I'll be 42 on Friday.
I know. So you don't look anything like Miss McGee.
I hope so. I don't have a perm. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So they sneak out the side doors of the school, and then immediately a music montage starts.
Like, also visually, the choice that they made, like the director or whatever, or the editor, like everything's very artistic.
It was like a Beastie Boys. Like, yeah. I want to dub Beastie Boys music on top of them jumping out of the school doors, because it was like that. It was like filmed from below.
Yeah.
And they're like jumping like in and over the camera.
Yeah.
Like they're fighting for their right to party.
Right. Or at least to skip English class.
Yes.
And so they spend the whole class at a playground just monkeying around.
They're like upside down on the monkey bars. They're on the swings. Yeah. So because this was from like 1998, so I've like movement, really fast movement like that. It's like the film is, it's not even film. It's a digital copy because it's 2020.
No, but I'm saying that was their artistic choice.
I thought it was because it was so old.
No, because
that's even like what my home videos look like.
It was like, no, it was an artistic choice.
Okay.
I'm sure of it.
So they walk. Then they sneak back in the school like they've been out, I don't know.
45 minutes?
More mugging people. Yeah. They're like, they've been gone for 45 minutes and they sneak back in like looking around.
Yeah.
Like, just go back in the school. Don't look obvious. Mm. Also, I skipped a lot in high school. The teachers don't. You're just marked absent. And correct. Then you get dealt with at home.
Not in Glen Oak.
So guess who is the first person to see them as he enter the school?
Old hag Miss McGee.
I think it was Miss McKee.
McKee. What?
I don't know. And then we don't hear anything else about this situation until Mary and Lucy are back in their bedroom later that night. And Lucy's like, oh, are you grounded? So,
and she's like, I don't know. I haven't talked to mom and dad yet. And she's like, well, you better go talk to them.
Yeah. So it's like implied that something happened and she had to go get picked up from school. So Annie ends up yelling at Mary, says she's grounded.
Yeah.
So she's grounded and then she's not suspended because she has a good point. Like, why reward somebody for skipping school with missing more school?
Right.
And so they have to work the concession at their first basketball game.
Yeah. So the school made it so they weren't allowed to play on their first basketball game of the season. And instead they have to work the concession.
And so I haven't actually read the Scarlet Letter, but what I know about it is there's a woman and she's a hussy.
Right.
And she has to wear the big letter on S on her chest. Is it for slut or skank?
Shenanigans.
Anyways, so the three of them are working the concession with these gigantic cardboard A's on their aprons on their chest.
Yeah.
And it stands for absentee.
And this guy comes up to my hot dog and he's like, what's the A about? They're like, this is what happened. And they were like, I can't believe you did that. Like, your teammates in there are dying. They really could have used you. I can't believe you would have skipped school.
You're so selfish.
God.
Like,
and Annie calls her a weenie. Yeah. When Annie's yelling at Mary, she's like, I can't believe my kid's a weenie. I was like, whoa, Annie. Okay.
Okay. Mark.
I know. As if. Every episode, Eric needs to save the day somehow and insert him into a family business.
That isn't his.
Yeah.
So there's this kid named Mark. He's the same age as Simon, which is like, I don't know, 11? We've decided 11 already.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's getting dropped off at school by his dad, Mr. Huff. And so Mark, the scene is Mark gets out of the car, starts walking, and he walks past the science teacher, Mr. Lane, and Mark's dad is like, you don't even thank me for this ride?
Hey, welcome.
Turn around. You're welcome. And Mr. Lane is triggered.
Yeah. And he's like, can I help you with something? And tries to get in between Mark and his dad, because his dad is like coming for him.
Yeah. And Mr. Lane ends up shoving Mr. Huff.
Right.
And Simon sees it all.
Yeah.
They do like a slow pan over to Simon and he's got this look on his face like, ah.
Yeah. He's witnessed a crime.
So next thing you know, Simon is getting pulled into the office to be a witness without his parents.
Yeah. This is very inappropriate. The principal calls him into the office where the teacher and dad are both sitting there. And in front of these two grown men that he saw a terrifying incident, he's like, what did you see? What happened? And Simon panic and only says half the truth. Is that he just saw that the teacher pushed the dad.
Yeah.
But he didn't hear anything. He didn't see anything else. He's nervous. So then he goes back to class.
But he should have had a parent there.
Yeah. And not been questioned in front of.
No, it should have been
the accused.
A meeting with his parent and the principal only. Okay. So then it comes out that the teacher, Mr. Lane, is getting suspended from school. And next thing we know, Simon thinks that it's his fault. So he comes home.
He leaves school.
Yeah. He runs like he's distraught.
Yeah.
So he runs home like in a manic, distraught way.
Took a page out of Lucy's book.
He did. And like shows up and Eric's in the backyard and he's like, so Simon's crying. It was a real fake cry.
This was not his biggest acting moment. For sure.
But
Eric says, don't worry, I'm going to talk to him. This isn't your fault.
Like, good, but also.
Yeah.
So he somehow gets a hold of the teacher, and they meet at the billiards for coffee.
Yeah, he's the church pastor. He gets hold of everybody.
So they're sitting down at the billiards, and of course, the teacher is saying, like, nope, this isn't Simon's fault. Like, I definitely pushed this dad. Like, don't worry, you know.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I was just triggered. Suddenly, I was 12, and my dad was hitting me.
Yeah, he explains that this is what happened in his childhood. And
Eric's like, you need therapy.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I could use it because I also just found out I got fired. Eric, he's just like, yeah, well, have you ever talked to anybody about this?
But he's surprised he wasn't like, I will be your therapist. And if you become an alcoholic, I will also detox you. So,
yeah, he can solve so many issues. So then Eric decides he's going to go visit Mr. Huff, the dad, Mark's dad.
Yeah, he's going to talk to him.
So Eric pulls up in front of this house. It's dark. And Mark, who is assumingly also 12 years old, is standing outside hiding in the bushes.
It's funny because Mark to me is the name of a 47-year-old white man.
Well, that's how old he is now. It's 1998.
Yes. Yeah. I know. So the year is 1998 and he's little 11-year-old Mark hiding in a bush.
And Mr. Huff is losing it inside. Like, this is clearly an abusive situation. And he's yelling at the mother, the wife.
He throws a suitcase with all of her silky clothes. So, like, it busts open and there's just, like, 90s. All this 90s in it. And he's like, get out of here. And then he goes to, like, grab Mark and, like, attack Mark. And Eric steps in.
Eric steps out of the bushes like that Homer Simpson meme where he's going in the bushes, but he steps out of the bushes.
Yes.
Like, I'm just in the bushes here with your kid.
Yeah.
And like, Mrs. Huff is just like, yep, we're leaving.
And so Eric takes them and they go away.
Yeah.
And then we find out later that she pressed charges, he got arrested, and he has to do training.
Like, how to be a good person.
Yeah.
I guess that's what that is.
Yeah.
How to not be a bad person. And Mr. Lang gets his job back.
Yes.
And then there's this. So this kid. So the scene ends with Mr. Lane and he's in the classroom. Eric is there. I don't know.
Yeah. Because Eric goes to shake his hand and be like, I'm glad you got your job back.
And he's like, yeah, this is so great. And so then the class fills up with a bunch of kids. And some kid puts his hand up and says, did you get... Were you, like, fired for shoving that dad? Mr. Lane says yes, and then for the next 3.5 minutes explains what generational trauma is to these kids.
Yeah, I wrote overshares, and it's not even that. It's just, like, the kids knowing the 11-year-old, they were probably just like, cool, you're back, okay. But now this teacher is like, you know, as your teacher, it's my job to be a better example and teach you that violence isn't the option. And if anyone's ever hitting you, you need to tell a safe person. And
he's like, I reacted the way that I reacted because my dad used to hit me and his dad used to hit him.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that it had affected me until that moment when I, like,
whoa.
Like, as somebody who lives with an 11-year-old, I know.
Yeah.
Like, why it would have just glazed over.
Yeah.
But I thought it was... it is good. It is an important thing to talk about. So,
and if anybody's ever hitting you, please reach out to somebody you trust.
Yes.
Like, don't put up with it.
You're reverend.
Like, you're... Yeah. So, all in all, it was a good episode. I do like that callback to where every individual character sort of just had one storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too messy. It was clear, concise.
It was. The only person that didn't have anything to do with music was Matt. He didn't get a montage or an instrument, but...
You could say the teacher played with his heartstrings.
He did get taken down a peg or two. Okay, next episode. It's called A Nice Chianti.
Oh my God.
Like, when did Silence of the Lambs come out?
Is that a thing from...
Yeah, he said, like, that's what...
Silence of the Lambs?
Yes. Silence of the Lambs. 1991. So it's been out for a while. But yeah, Anthony Hopkins, who plays Hannibal Lecter, he says that he would like to eat their livers with fava beans. And
with fava beans? Okay.
Yeah. Like, he's a cannibal.
Right. Yeah, the whole thing. Yes. Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know what this is in reference to, but hopefully cannibalism. So Matt stops to help a pregnant girl having car trouble, and she thanks him by hijacking his car.
So this will be Matt's second hijacking in his life.
And it didn't go well the first time.
Not the first time.
PTSD.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. Follow us along on TikTok and Instagram. You can find us at I Did Not Know. I Did Not Sign Up For This is our other podcast. You can find us at 7th Heaven, A Lesbian Recap. And what else?
On Patreon.
We're also on Patreon. We've got some bonus episodes if you want to look up A Lesbian Recap. And we're going to be recapping some other lesbian takes on things.
I know. We got to get on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have an episode due. We're going to record that. And, yeah.
I'm going to try.
But not this weekend because we're going to be celebrating your birthday.
Yeah. Waterton.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. Just get out of town.
Let's just go now.
Okay. Screw work tomorrow.
Screw tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.